Now, we're going to spend some time on the second reading, which is one of the most powerful texts in the whole of the Bible. And I'm just going to make sure I have the whole context. It's Philippians 2, 6 to 11. It's the hymn, probably a hymn anyway, which Paul puts in there. I mean, he might have written it himself, or he's quoting something that everybody at Philippi and other places will know. Now, the point is, he loves this community at Philippi, and they're good people, and they take up money to help him out so that he can eat and have clothes and travel and so forth, you know, and care for him. And in a way, he's probably their favorites. But there's division in the community. And that's the way Satan can destroy any group, any family, any religious house, any charismatic group, any whatever, is division. Watch that. When division starts, stop, pray, fast. Nobody saying everything will be fine when they agree with me. That's not how you resolve a conflict. You say, I give up my ideas. I don't give a darn. Let's just go. Let's just love. So that's the point of this. See, and that's the way he starts off. And I urge Evodia and Syntyche to get together, and you, talking to the leader of the community, help these good women. They're so responsible for the gospel. These are not just gossips arguing after Mass. I mean, these are pillars of the church, Evodia and Syntyche. Okay. So, he's talking to them now, and he's saying all these things. See, if there's any consolation in Christ, any encouragement, if there's any communion in the Spirit, if there's any mercy and generosity, fill up my joy by thinking alike. To avto phronite. It doesn't mean, well, we all agree that so-and-so would make a good president. No, no. It's thinking about the deep things of life and being bound to your brothers and sisters by your own love, esteem, and understanding of what's happened to you by the grace of God. That's what he's talking about, you see. Fill up my joy by thinking the same thing, to avto phronite, having the same love, being of one soul, and thinking the same thing. That's quite an accomplishment, isn't it? You know, we're so dumb and so self-centered and so weak. You can get that in a family, you've already got it. He says, yeah, that's fine, but the community, the parish, the diocese, the whole church. When Satan wants to weaken the church, what does he do? He introduces division. I mean, I don't even know the figures now. The East broke from the West. There was jealousy and stuff on both sides. Doctrinally, there's really no problem. It's just talking it all out, as they're doing now in Bari, in Italy, and it's so exciting. You see? And then ambition. Who's going to be the big shot? Who's going to run this thing? All of those, in any community, any charismatic group, any other kind of group, any apostolic group, whatever. So that's what he's talking about, you see. And so not through jealousy or vainglory, but dapino frosini, that is, in humility, esteem, care for one another, considering that the others are greater than you are. That's pretty wonderful when that happens, you know. I remember reading about this fellow who was an alcoholic, and he was writing in their magazine, The Grapevine. I hope that's still around. And he said, you know, I went to one of these AA meetings, and they said, you have to turn your life over to somebody higher than you are. And he said, there's nothing higher than me. I mean, how am I going to do that? He said, so a day or so later, I was drunk. I was trying to get on this Fifth Avenue bus, and it was pulling out. So I grabbed the hold of the bar. I was going to try to get on. Well, I had to let go. And he said, that bus is greater than me. And that was his initial step in drying out. He couldn't get that God was greater than he was. He wasn't even sure there was one. But that bus, you know, there's something greater than me in this world. A lot of things. And that bus was sort of the symbol of it. That was the beginning of his recovery. So that's what's being said here. Let everybody be better than you. What do you care if they're better than you are? You know? Look out for what's good for the others, not yourself. There are people who really do. Mothers do this a lot in a family. And that's their sanctification. And so then, and this is the part we have now in the reading. See, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, what was the mind in Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. Though he was in the form of God, morphe tou tahou, in the reality of God, not morphe like he looked like God, it was in the morphe of God. You see? He did not regard equality with God as something, my translation here, I think is probably NAB, to be exploited. Ouk apagmon igisito. It's like a trophy. I'm equal to God, you guys. You better pay attention to me. You better like me, obey me, whatever. Jesus never did that. We all do it with a lot less to boast of than being equal to God. That we're so stupid. Anyway, being full in a human likeness and being found in the form of a man, he didn't consider being equal to, you know, Aftun Ikunisin. He emptied himself, taking the form, the reality of a slave. This is God we're talking about. If we could only understand how love makes God humble. He didn't say, look, I'm the Son of God, you better do what I'm telling you or I'll send you to hell. That's not what he did, was it? And we don't have two pennies to rub together and we walk around like we're rich. And so, you see, He came then in the likeness, omiomati, of men, and is found as men. I forgot how they translate that part. Born, well, in human likeness. And so, being found in this, he humbled himself. We're talking about God. What would drive him to humble himself, come down among us, get insulted, you know, say, what do you know, Jesus of Nazareth? You don't know anything. Or if you're such a big shot, you hill these people down in Capernaum, do something like that for us. I mean, this is God we're talking to. And so, he emptied himself, becoming obedient unto death, death in the electric chair. It's the only shocking thing that equals death on a cross. And so, God raised him up, iper ipsosin, raised him high. How does it go in the translation anyway? Exalted him. That's good. But it's so vague. God exalted him. You got to see him being lifted up to the heavenlies where all the angels just worship him. See? Raised him on high and gave him the name, which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is not just Jesus, it's Kyrios, Lord. And everything on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Kyrios, to the glory of God the Father. Kyrios. That's the way we translate, the Greeks translate Yahweh. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Yahweh, and we do that to the glory of God the Father. We're not taking anything from God. We're adoring God. We're honoring God because of what he did for us. Now, that's an allusion, as you probably know, to a text in Isaiah 45:24. Only in Yahweh is there justice. This has got to be, it starts with in verse 23, according to this one. Because in me, only in me does this go forth. I don't remember if I brought an English Bible with me here, but anyway, it's this allusion to this text that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. By me, says Adonai, by me, that's Yahweh. And now, this hymn that Paul has written or is quoting, the Father raised him up so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. You see, that Jesus Christ is Kyrios, Adonai. The whole universe one day will recognize that Jesus Christ. Then it takes your breath away. You know who just died for you? God. How could he do that? Because his love is so great that he doesn't even pay attention to his glory. And you think of us. Somebody cuts us off in traffic, we go ape. Don't you realize I'm divine? I don't know why we go nuts. I mean, and here's God. We're saved by the humility of God himself. In Jesus Christ, who was, as the hymn just said, in the nature of God, the forma, the morphe, the form of God. He didn't consider being equal to God something to be clung to. But rather, he emptied himself, becoming obedient unto death. And therefore, God exalted him, the Father. Can you imagine how the Father was just waiting for that third day after his death to raise him up again and put him where he belongs, at the very head, to be worshipped and adored by all of creation? And Paul is saying to us, you got an argument in the family or in the community? Take a look at the cross. See how Jesus humbled himself, and you'll have peace.